All right, well, good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, this is great. I got an extra 5 minutes. Because of you? Okay. Thanks. You can turn into 1 Corinthians. Gosh, I could almost just send us home right now after Josh's Lord's Supper and Mr. Toole this morning. But it doesn't hurt to review, so you're not off the hook that easily. So I have your attention. I can't pass that up. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll continue in breaking down these verses. And, we brought out before, I've mentioned that working through these verses, and a lot of this I had heard as a new Christian when Luke Wilson went through this book. And it just really helped open my eyes to a lot of things. And so I really enjoyed that time that he broke those down, and it just really helped me. So I wanted to continue in that process and working through that. Don't know how far we're going to get through there, but we'll continue to forge ahead in this tonight, at least. So Lord willing, we'll continue if I get another opportunity. So in 1 Corinthians, we're in chapter 3, and we'll read 16 to the end of the chapter. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless. So then, let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come. All things belong to you. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God in heaven, we are very appreciative for you, Lord, that the wisdom that you give us, the wisdom that comes down from above, is beyond this world. It's much wiser than anything that we can get from this world. And Lord, it's a privilege to know these, to know this wisdom that you give us. And it's given to us, and you've gone to great lengths to communicate your wisdom to us, at least to the level that we are able to accept it and understand it, this side of the dirt. So we're thankful for that one miracle that you have preserved your word over the generations, that we can be in times like this tonight where we can break it down and further understand it for our edification, and then also to equip us for the work that you've given us. So I pray that you help me to convey and communicate the things from these verses clearly, that we could be, in fact, edified and further equipped. And I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So in the last week, we looked at, in verses 16 and 17, we broke these down, just a quick review, that, the church is the temple of God. And the church is you, and the church is me, and us collectively. And really, there's the key things that everyone needs to have and to understand is that there is no individualism in the church, okay, and especially in building the church. Is that the Lord's body, in the Lord's body, there's no one to be elevated above another, okay, except for Christ. Christ is the chief cornerstone, right? And the rest of us, we're living stones being added to that temple. But in that, and in that responsibility that we have, we are as priests of God. And so we looked at that previously, but this is really a key point. A key scriptural point is that we are all priests, royal priests in Christ. And as priests, it's our job, what we looked at, is that we are building this temple. We are building this body. And that's our job as priests of God. But in that process, there's really no place for individuals. There is no I in team, as the saying goes. So what God looks for in his people is that people that will buy into his plan, okay, without any selfish ambition, buy into his plan, into his mechanism, I guess you could say. And if someone is not buying into his plan or into his program, but rather has selfish ambition, scriptures would say, or personal interests, God will destroy them ultimately. Okay? And so, if you are in that, involved in destroying the temple instead of building that up, we looked at God will destroy you because the temple of God is holy and that is what you are. And so we looked at that. And the thing that we want to bring out and remember, though, if we're working and if we're building, but if we're not quite up to speed on how to build well, what we brought out, that's one thing, okay, brethren? And God is patient and understanding, we know that. But it's a whole other thing to know well how to build and yet operate from personal interests and selfish ambitions. God does not take kindly to that. Okay, in that process, you will ultimately be engaged in the destruction of the temple. And so God will destroy such people. So we looked at that. And then in this point, we want to seek first God's kingdom. Okay? We want to seek first God's righteousness. And so if we do that, then what we looked at is all other things will be added to us. Everything that God knows we need, that will be added to us. So tonight, I want to work on the rest of these verses, 18 through 23. And a few of the aspects right off the bat. Something that just is like a beacon flashing in the night. Let no man deceive himself. And it was well brought out this morning. One of the terrible tendencies that fleshly man has is to deceive himself. Okay, and how many of us have been in that boat? It's so easy to kid ourselves, right? And I know this from personal experience how this works, okay? You play little games in your mind, right? You play these little games in your mind. Sometimes we'll have these thoughts pop up in our head, and thoughts that will actually, we don't really care for sometimes, right? Some thoughts that will actually force us to be honest with the things that we're dealing with, okay? And instead of dealing with those things actually, what we do is we tend to roll those things to the back, right? We tend to roll those things to the back of our minds, and sometimes we can ignore them, and sometimes we just play self-justification in that process, okay? And people have a tendency to play this game, right? Let's see, brethren, God wants us to be successful. He wants us to make it to heaven, okay? But brethren, you will not make it to heaven without being honest with yourself along the way. You won't. Honesty is the core of Christianity. And so God's willing at times when we need it to break us down, okay? Force us to look into this mirror that was brought out this morning, okay? Take an honest accounting of where we are at personally at the present time. How are we doing? How am I doing? If you're not asking yourself that question on a regular basis, brethren, you need to readjust some things. One of the greatest things about the new covenant, about the time of grace, right, being brought to us through Jesus Christ, is that we have the opportunity to be completely honest with God without fear of condemnation. Okay? And when you have to fear condemnation is when you're not being honest with God, okay, or when we're not being honest with ourselves. And so, let no man deceive himself. Okay? But there's the tendency of the human race to deceive ourselves, as we mentioned. That's why in schools, Mr. Toole and I have talked about this, and he's well brought it out. That's why they have tests, right? Administered by the teachers. Okay, if we let everyone make their own grade, what kind of school would we have here? Mr. Toole's like smiling. Yeah, probably wouldn't be a very accurate rendering of where the students are at, would it? If they gave themselves their own grades. And so, you know, there's a purpose behind that. We've well brought that out before. These tests are there. Okay, a teacher administers them. The teacher has the answer sheet, okay, and then grades those tests based on the answers and how, and in all truthness, to see where they're at. Okay, that is the gauge. That's how we know where we're at, okay? And so understanding this then, there's a reason that most people in the world work for somebody else, okay? There's a reason that most of us work for a boss, okay? And the reason is most people by themselves are unable to accurately gauge how they're doing. It's a tough thing to do. Okay, the reality is most of the human race has to have somebody to give it to them straight. Okay, you're failing. Or great job. Okay, to call them out on their performance or lack thereof. Most of us need that. Okay, and there's a reason in this world that we have, there's a reason that we have court systems, right? You know, people, they go into a trial. There's a back and forth, and there's a cross-examination there, isn't there? And because some people, it's incredible that some people end up getting really good at lying, and they start to buy their own lies, okay? We all kind of have a tendency to do that on some level. And so when we Bible study with people, even good people, I mean, you know, people outside of Christ, people that we would consider to be honest people, one of the things we have to do with them is break them down where they're at with the scriptures, okay? And we do that, and we see that process. People that you even think that are, you know, like I said, honest and good people according to the world's terms, but these self-deceptions go on, don't they? Okay, and they do that for a reason. They do that for self-preservation, to survive, to make it through their day-to-day. And so what we have to do is break that down. No, you're not okay. No, you're not okay. Open this book. Get into this book. Read that scripture again. What does it say? Okay? And that this is the problem, brethren. Let no man deceive himself. And this is a real problem. And so there's a saying in the sports world, okay? The eye in the sky don't lie, right? Okay, what does that mean? So, in at least professional level sports, everything's filmed, right? And so, you can go through the game and you can blame whatever on whomever, and that wasn't me, or you know, I did, that wasn't my fault. Well, guess what? After the game, there's a film session. Okay, we're going to sit down, we're going to go through this film, we're going to watch it, we're going to watch it back and forth, okay? And pretty soon it comes to be pretty obvious who was at fault, okay? Because the eye in the sky don't lie. Brethren, there is an eye in the sky, and he don't lie, okay? Hebrews 4, let's turn there real quick. It says, God sees everything, doesn't he, brethren? Well, we won't look up all these verses. We won't have time, but I wanted to turn to this. Hebrews 4, and I think somebody brought this up recently. But Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. It says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Something we have to remember, brethren, is that God sees us all the time. He sees us all the time. Basically, deceiving yourself doesn't do anybody any good. Okay? It's not like you were tricking God, okay? It was well brought out. We talked about it, even that teen fellowship, as Mr. Toole brought out. God's not mocked, okay? You can't fool God. You can fool people. You can fool most people some of the time. Some people you can fool all the time, okay? You can't fool God, okay? We can't fool God, ever. So what's the saying? Character is who you are when nobody's watching, right? But God is always watching. He's always seeing. It's one of the first things we got to understand, right? So let's be honest with ourselves. And let's not deceive ourselves, okay? Honesty is at the core of Christianity, as we said. And so before becoming a Christian, that's one of the things we do, right? It's one of the reasons we become, this book is the reason that we go through that process, okay? We take this book to studies. It's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart, it says. We see these play out across the table a lot of times, okay? People, we see the motives of their hearts based on how they respond to the scriptures, right? A lot of times. It's interesting. It's not always fun to think about, but, you know, sometimes we got to think about it. We don't just choose to become a Christian and then continuing to think the way we've always thought. To think the way we want to think, okay? People continue to make choices after becoming Christians, don't they? We still have freedom of choice, okay? Choices are to be made. God doesn't take away our free will when he kills that old man, okay? We still have choices to make. It's important that we continue to be honest with ourselves so that we can make good choices, okay? We're not going to make those good choices if we're not honest about where we're at, okay? If we're deceiving ourselves, we won't be able to keep that good conscience that God has given us. Okay, we won't be able to keep the faith, okay? And we will, as Scriptures puts it, suffer shipwreck. Suffer shipwreck in regards to our faith if we're not honest about where we're at and how we're doing. And so we've seen it happen to people before. We read about it in the New Testament even. We've seen it in our own lifetime. We got to make the choice and stand by that, and I will make it to heaven. But that begins with personal honesty, a personal accounting, okay? Let no man deceive himself. So the very nature of sin is deceitful, isn't it? The very nature of sin is deceitful. Scripture says, don't be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, right? Sin is deceitful. The nature of it is just, you know, the devil brings in lies, right? At the very beginning, you shall surely not die. Right? What? And then look at the deceptive nature after this. Adam and Eve sin, right? And immediately they go into hiding. Immediately they go into hiding. And that's in direct contrast to walk in the light as he himself is in the light. Right? You have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Right? My cough drop is lodged in my cheek. Sorry, that was bothering me. One of the prerequisites of the blood of Jesus cleansing us from all sin is to walk in the light. Right? That means be honest. I struggled with this, brethren, for a long time, just being honest with where I was. Okay, get rid of the deception. There's no room for deception in the Lord's church. Okay, the devil's the one who is the great deceiver of old, right? We got to put that aside. We got to put that aside. Let no man deceive himself. Four times in the New Testament, the scripture says, do not be deceived. Okay, there's a reason that the Holy Spirit stated that. Because it's easy to kid ourselves, right, with all sorts of things. Okay, one of them is, and the Holy Spirit gives us a list, okay, a very poignant list of all who will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, right? Very specific. A lot of religious worlds will try to sneak people past that list, right? And we can actually fall prey to that way of thinking. Maybe we can even go a step further than that. Well, I've been immersed. Right? I've been immersed. Okay, but there's a key point in that. Such were some of you. Okay? Such were some of you. So the point is, we're not that anymore. Okay, we left that behind. If you're that way anymore, if that's the way, that's what you practice, if that's who you are, and if those sins define you, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven, brethren. Just don't deceive yourself about that. Okay, what about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33? Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Who are you going to have fellowship with? Who are you going to hang out with? Who are you going to keep company with? Fellowship's key. Okay, Scripture says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Right? Or what harmony does Christ have with Belial, right? So we got to be careful, brethren. And please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that we don't go out and have and interact with the world. We have to. That's our job, to seek and save. Okay? We seek. We go. Okay? We got to interact with people. We got to interact with the world on some level. But we have to have the people skills to be able to interact with people in the world. Okay? But those who are... those people that we interact in our efforts are not our true friends. Okay? So I realized at some point, and I guess I'm still continuing to on some level, if I'm still looking for relationships in the world, if I've still got that in my life, I've got a barrier somewhere between me and God. Okay? Because if I struggle with people in the Lord's church, and my attitude is that towards them is that, oh, I don't really want to get close with them or have a relationship with them. I don't really want to have a friendship with that guy because he's kind of weird. Okay? I have a problem. If that's the case, I have a problem and I'm not at peace with God. Okay? It's a serious thing. It says, do not deceive yourself, right? Bad company corrupts good morals. Who are you keeping company with? That's important too. Okay? How about this one? What you sow is what you reap. Right? Brought out this morning by Mr. Toole. You ever have somehow you have the prayer just, God, can we have a crop failure? Can we just have a crop failure? So I don't have to go through that. Reaping what I've sowed. I've been there, brethren. I have. And I, you know, sooner or later, guys, it's coming. The Lord is faithful to allow us to reap what we've sown. And sometimes there's that residual as to allowing that to come around, okay? But that's the way it works, okay? God does not break his spiritual laws for anybody. And then a lot of times for myself, I'll just say, I'm glad he didn't. Because that's what brought me through. You know, the confidence in my faith was tested. Okay? And God brought me through that, so I have a stronger faith. Remember this one, Galatians 6 and 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Okay? But the one who sows from the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And so, what you sow is what you reap. Do not be deceived about that. God is not mocked. Okay? You're not going to pull the wool over God's eyes. And he sees all. He sees everything. Okay? We're not going to be able to make fun at God or shake our fist at God. Okay? One thing you realize is God expects people in the world to be worldly. What does he expect of us? Okay? If we act worldly, then we will bring a bad light to Christ. And what was mentioned this morning as well. If our behavior among the Gentiles is that of the Gentiles, what does that say about the Church of Christ? Nothing good. Do not be deceived. Okay. Another thing, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. You know, there's the old saying in the world, you can't con a con man. We might need to rethink that. Okay? Because a con man gets conned by a better con man, ultimately, right? And it's because there's a personal agenda being at work and is being worked by the other guy, right? And so one of the things that we got to think about, if you have an agenda, you're open to deception. And in this religious world right now, why are there so many false teachers? You ever thought of that? Why are there so many false religions? It's because there's a marketplace for it. Supply and demand, right? People like to have their ears tickled, as scriptures would say. Okay? They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. The reason that there's deceptive teaching out there is because the law of supply and demand. People want it. People want to be deceived. They want to be deceived so that they can continue to live the way they're living. Right? The warning from Scripture is let no man deceive himself. Particularly in this context, this is talking about, you know, if you think you're hot stuff in the world, you might want to rethink that. Brethren, we can come to Christ and maybe bring some of our old worldly thinking with us. Okay, that's got to go out the window. That's got to go out the window. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God, is what the text says. So this is difficult. And this is difficult to communicate as well. I like the way Luke mentioned this when he worked through this, I remember. He said it this way. There's really, he knew some really smart people, right? But they were at enmity toward God. Why? There's some real basic fundamental things that they couldn't figure out, truths that are out there, and it's not because they're not smart enough. You know, they're talking about real intellectual people, really smart people. If you give them an IQ test, they'd score really well, right? But thankfully, God's IQ test is a little different than man's. Many times, these people, they're just foolish, scriptures would say. They're foolish. They're arrogant. Okay? And their foolishness has a way of swaying them. Okay? Their arrogance, you know, you have a conversation. Well, I know. You know, I know that. I know everything. You know, it comes across in the conversations. And, you know, sometimes you can find yourself buying into a little bit of their stuff. What was I say? You see that. You see this with kids, right? A kid comes in and he's confident and he's strongly communicating this lie, right? And kids start to believe it, right? Even the parents. You see this too. The parents start to buy into it. Right? Here's the thing. And I like this. I remember Luke talking about this. He says, if my family is watching a movie and I come in halfway through it or even further than halfway through it, and I come in and I want to watch the movie with them, right? So, okay, put that thing on pause. Now catch me up. What's happened? Where are we at? What's this movie about? Okay, so I can understand what's going on. Get me caught up. So the foolish men of the world then, they're in their arrogance and stupidity, they're going to come into this movie, right? When it's most of the way through, and they're going to try to come in and tell you what this movie's about. Based on what little bit they've seen already. It's just crazy. It's like I can come in not having seen the better part of this movie, and I'm going to argue with everyone of what this movie's about. And I just walked in the door. But rewinding this thing in my mind rewinding this thing backwards based on what I've seen, I'm going to argue with them that have seen it? That just doesn't make sense. The way of the world, the foolishness of the world, foolishness of the wise, scriptures would say. So how can I do that when I haven't seen what they've seen? Okay? It just doesn't make any sense. And not so here's the thing. Not only is that arrogant, and it's just flat stupidity, really. And that's the foolishness of the world. But here's another thing. Think of it this way. So let's back up. So their need and the denial of their need to have the revelation of the eternal God is that now I can figure that out on my own. That's the arrogance. Okay? I can rewind this thing based on what I've known and what I've seen, and I can figure it out on my own. I don't need the revelation of God. Okay? That's foolishness. And what's worse is if I were to go and to argue with the producer and the director of the movie. No, that's not what this movie's about. What? This, I'm the producer and I'm the director. What are you talking about? Foo. Well, there's a producer and a director on the spiritual scene, brethren. And we don't want to argue with him, okay? We don't want to get into that argument. And so we need the revelation of God handed down from him. Okay, just a few things that we'll hit real quick in closing. So the smart people of the world, right? Scientists, not all of them, most of them are arrogant, okay? And they refuse to acknowledge the revelation of God, really, and it really bothers me. I don't know why that one particularly, but professing to wise, they become fools, right? How about economists? Mr. Simpson's a big fan of economists, I know. we're gonna pump a bunch of money into our system, right? And we're gonna inflate the currency. Okay? Huh. It's a funny thought. I was growing up, I always heard that money doesn't grow on trees, right? So where's this money coming from? You can't just create money, right? And so how is that gonna happen? Well, nobody can create money. I don't care what your last name is, you can't do it. The money comes from somewhere, though, which means if they're putting more money out there, it means that they stole it from someone else. Okay? And we know God hates unjust weights. Social scientists. This was brought out quite a bit this morning, too. In a bunch of areas, it's the total immorality that's out there. Mr. Toole brought it out well this morning. It's like the toilet bowl is just swirling, and it's getting more and more rapidly. The homosexuality that's been just jammed down our throats for the last 10 years, right, has now morphed into transgenderism. And it's getting more and more aggressive. Non-binary? What is that? I don't even... What? Okay, I don't get it. But if you bring it up, and if you talk negatively against it, all of a sudden you're a hater and a bigot. Okay? I don't hate homosexuals. I don't hate transgender, he, she, he's, non-binaries, whatever. I love them. They're eternal souls. God loves them, right? And remember, such were some of you, okay? Such were some of you, okay? It doesn't matter. Now, in Christ, you've moved on from that. And so you've left that behind. But it's a sin. And when you try to justify your sin by saying I was born that way, I have a problem with that. Okay? The wisdom of the world is foolishness before God. And so, I'm going to cut some of this short because here's another. I want to say this. The permissive behavior of children has got to end. You know, you walk into the grocery store or Walmart and you see it. Kids are, they're in charge of the parents. Okay, that's just wrong, brethren. And, you know, society would wonder then, why do we have 13 and 14-year-olds doing all these crimes and now they're wearing orange suits? I don't understand. Well, because you let them do whatever they wanted to do. You know, God's clear in Proverbs 13:24, he who withholds the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Okay, that's another problem in our society that we don't have time to get into, but here's the thing, parents. We want to make sure that we're not doing this out of unrighteous anger. Okay? It's easy to get angry in those moments, right? But this needs to be consistent, diligent, controlled discipline. Okay? God is not a proponent of child abuse. So we want to make sure we get that straight. We got to be careful with some of this stuff. Some of the world's thinking can creep into our homes, okay? Allowing our children to get away with things that they probably shouldn't be getting away with. Okay, because it's very pervasive. It sneaks in. We have to be diligent in not allowing that. Guys, we have to remember what's on the line, eternity. Eternity for our children's souls, okay? Don't let the wisdom of the world come in to your households, okay? Psalm 94, we'll close there. And this is, the last part of this is, Psalm 94. And this is getting at that second quotation in our text in verse 20. It says, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless. And Luke brought this out well in when he went through this. It actually comes from the Septuagint. The Greek version of this passage is from Psalm 94. One thing, the Lord knows, right, that the reasoning of the wise, that it's useless. And here's why. Because when you start from a false premise, it doesn't matter how you reason through that, you're going to end up at the wrong location. If you start from a false premise, you can reason correctly all the way through, you're still going to end up at the wrong conclusion. And so the Psalm 94, verse 8 says this well. It says, pay heed, you senseless among the people, and when will you understand, stupid ones? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? He who chastens the nations, will he not rebuke? Even he who teaches man knowledge. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are a mere breath. And I think the Greek brings this out a little better. The Lord knows these thoughts and these reasons of man. They're vain. They're empty and they're useless. Okay, God sees. Okay, He made us. He knows best. And so I want to encourage us also, brethren, as a key factor of this is read your scriptures. Okay, this is the wisdom of God. Okay, we're coming up on a new year. Have a reading plan. Okay, read your Bible. The Lord knows. He knows best. It is the wisdom from above, right? And He sees all. Okay, we want to be smart. We want to be wise. We want to know what we're doing. We want to know the way things work in this world. Follow the one that knows. Follow the one that created everything that we see. He knows all things. And so the last thought is that in 1 Corinthians 3, from our text, in verse 21, I wanted to hit real quick. So then, let no one boast in men, right? For all things belong to you. Brethren, if you know who you are, if you know who you really are in Christ, there's no arrogance that comes about. There's no reason for boasting in men when you know truly know who you are. Okay, there's no reason for going to the world for their so-called wisdom. Okay, know who you are. Kevin's been bringing it up for years. Know who you are. Know who you know your purpose. Okay, and I appreciate that. The scriptures say all things belong to you. Look, brethren, God has given, He's chosen us to give us the kingdom. Okay? You guys realize the tremendous love that He has for us? He's gladly chosen to give us His kingdom. Know who you are. Okay? There's a calm confidence that comes instead of arrogance when you know who you are in Christ. And so I've appreciated that more and more that Mr. Simpson has brought that out. Verse 21, so then let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you. And he closes, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. All right? Thank you.